This week, Gotham Knights, Plague's Tale Requiem, and Mario Rabbit Sparks of Hope launches, and we have to ask the question, is locked 30 FPS acceptable for modern gen consoles? And we are live.
Welcome back to Checkpoint, brought to you by Strictly Casual. I almost said Strictly Casual, brought to you by Checkpoint, your number one show, running up all the hottest gaming news stories of the week and discussing all the relevant topics you need to know about. I'm one of your hosts, James Walmer, with the spiciest meatball in gaming, Vincent DeSantis. Thank you, audio listeners. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/strictlycasual. Please hit us with a rating on audio platforms and sub. It helps us out a lot. Vincent, what else is going on the channel?
We're trying to get back to a normal schedule. That is what's happening on
great
with the channel currently.
Yes. Love it.
And
thank you for bearing with us in that process.
Since House of Dragon ends this week, I'm sure we'll do a House of Dragon wrap up sometime next week. That's it.
Be expecting that, everybody. We're going to do something a little different this week. We're going to jump straight into the news. Vincent, take us away.
Let's go. So the first kind of discussion piece I want to bring up is the pro controller scene for Xbox and PlayStation. Xbox, you're going to be able to customize your Xbox Elite 2 controllers now with full color customization, just like you were able to with like the previous. You just were able to do the Xbox controller in the lab. But now the DualSense Edge is also coming out, and we have tons of new details on the PlayStation DualSense Edge. So James, tell us what the details are for the Edge.
The DualSense Edge wireless controller features a host of hardware and software-based personalization options, including button remapping, the ability to fine-tune stick sensitivity and triggers, options to swap between multiple profiles, and a unique on-controller user interface. It also sports the signature comfort and immersive features of the DualSense wireless controller, like haptic feedback and adaptive triggers like you'd expect. You can make the DualSense Edge wireless controller uniquely yours with the included 3 changeable sets of stick caps and 2 changeable sets of back buttons. Everything will come bundled in the included carrying case, which looks super nice.
Yeah.
And you can even charge the controller via USB connection while it's stored in the case to make sure you're always ready for your next play session. The DualSense wireless controller will be available for recommended retail price RRP of $199.99 US dollars or $29.980
yen.
Yeah. Or 239 euros. Or 209.
I'm not sure what all these. I should really know what all of those are. Is that what it asks?
209 pounds. I think it's 209 pounds, 239 euros. Yeah.
Anyways, this is expensive.
And yeah, it's very pricey. In addition, the replaceable stick modules will be available globally on January 26th for a recommended retail price of $19.99 US dollars. And I'll just leave the rest.
That sounds about right.
Calculated. Sure.
For 20.
Yeah.
Not for the controller,
sounds right,
but for the sticks. James, like...
Well, it's comparable to the... I don't know how comparable it is to the Xbox Elite 2 controller.
The Elite 2 starts, well, if fully customized, at $149. So $50 cheaper. But if you want to get all of the Elite components, it's $209.
So could you compare the fully...
Compare the fully kitted,
elite, kitted, yeah. So then it's comparable.
Sure, it just feels so expensive. But I guess that's always how it's been for pro controllers. It's always been a lot.
This is also just not for the average Joe. Like this is for the competitive player. That's who this That's who this is marketed towards. This is an average. Like remember when we were like kids and everyone was talking about getting scuff controllers?
Yeah.
Like this is the same. Market essentially, like scuff controllers were never for the average Joe. We were just tryhards growing up.
Yeah, it looks awesome. First of all, I like the design of the edge.
Yeah,
it has harder edges, quite literally, which looks really cool with the I don't know the whole PlayStation aesthetic they have going right now. But I don't see myself using the pro features enough for, regular casual gaming.
It's not for us, Finn.
Yeah.
We're not pro gamers.
I think you would have asked like middle school me though. I would have probably been all in. I would have been saving my pennies for this bad boy.
Absolutely.
I think I'd rather just get the purple controller eventually, you know, and I'll be happy with just the purple controller, not the Pro or not the
Edge. Just the colored one.
Yeah, just the colored one. That's all I need. I don't need although I do think the back pedals are cool. I think those can be useful for like a lot of games. It could be nice, mm-hmm. but I don't need them. It's not a necessity for me. But that's speaking for me. I'm sure there's a lot of cases out there where people are like, oh yeah, I think it like I want the Edge bad.
Sure. Well, also like, you know what? I'm almost curious to see how pro controllers might aid people who need more accessibility, people who aren't as tactile with their hands. Mm-hmm. They might be required to spend the extra money to upgrade to a pro controller that's more suitable for their hands.
Sure.
And their needs. And having to pay a premium for that might be a little debatable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough because we see Xbox like really killing it with accessibility controllers and stuff like that. And PlayStation, I haven't seen anything from them when it comes to that.
Yeah, it sucks.
And I'm sure that's a case-by-case basis of things that are easier or harder to do with certain controllers. When people need an accessibility controller or it makes that easier to play, I'm sure each person is different in the types of controllers that would actually help them. So maybe in some cases, the Elite/Pro controller would help them. But in most, like in a lot of cases, I don't know if that is actually like super beneficial just for a Pro controller. They might need something else.
Sure. But Xbox has that and PlayStation doesn't.
No, they don't, which is sad.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. So the next part of the story here is the Xbox Elite 2 controllers are now customizable in the Xbox Design Lab. This comes right from IGN. Microsoft has officially brought the Xbox Elite 2 controllers to the company's Xbox Design Lab after teasing the feature last month. Like the standard Xbox wireless controller, the Elite 2 controllers on the Xbox Design Lab will allow you to fully customize near all parts of the controller, such as the triggers, D-pad, and thumbsticks. Microsoft also notes that players can finally choose between a cross-shaped or a faceted D-pad in the Xbox Design Lab, a feature you previously could not do, which is like the circle kind of thing versus just the regular D-pad inside of it. I like the circle thing. I think it's a good look for the controllers. I don't really know how it works differently though.
Are you talking about the one with like it's more like geometric in design?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like the way it looks, but I don't know how, I don't love how it feels.
Yeah. This marks the first time that Microsoft has allowed the option to fully customize its flagship controller after launching the Xbox Design Lab in 2016. Microsoft would temporarily pause the program ahead of the Xbox Series X and S launch before relaunching it in June 2021, discontinuing custom Xbox One controllers in favor of the Xbox Series X and S controller. A custom Elite 2 controller on the Xbox Design Lab starts at $149, but there's an option to fully customize the Elite 2 controller and all of the Elite components, which retails for $209. So I'm assuming the upcharge, like you can customize everything except the Elite, like the new thumbsticks or the triggers or something like that. If you want to get that, then it's $209 customized. Mm. But I'll have to play around with it. I'm happy with my Xbox controller.
I like that you're able to at least change the color in the Elite controller. That's the one thing that I wish PlayStation had.
Right. Well, I wish PlayStation had a design lab in general.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're ever going to get that. That's just not their model, which sucks. I'd like to get some wacky colors out there, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
They only have a handful.
Personalization.
Yeah, if they were to do a design lab right now, it would be three different colors with two different button colors. And then they'd be like, oh, go for it. Like, they don't even produce in so many DualSense colors right now. PS4 colors, they had a ton of them for the DualShock.
Yeah.
But right now they don't.
Now we're, 3 years into the console's life cycle and we have three extra colors?
Yeah, we're two years. 3 years. 3 years. Wow. Wow, really?
We're 3 years, right?
No, I think it's just 2 years. Okay. Because, yeah, it's 2 years as of November. Next month. I'm 99% sure. That makes sense. Yeah, because if it was 3 years ago, that would be like, 20. They launched in 2021?
2020.
Okay, 2 years. 1 year to 2021, 1 year to 2022.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of 3 years into the console generation, James.
Okay.
Let's jump right into the 30 FPS debate that we're having here. on
it's quite a debate. Consoles.
This comes quite with the news, James, that Gotham Knights will only run at 30 frames per second and will offer no performance mode on consoles. As spotted, this comes from IGN, but as spotted like by Wario64, the man, the myth, the legend, on Twitter, the news was shared that Gotham Knights executive producer Flana in the game's Discord channel said she wanted to take some time to address this question for console players. So, James, what did Flana's message say?
Said, "Hello, everyone. I know many of you are wondering about the availability of a performance mode for Gotham Knights on consoles. Due to the types of features we have in our game, like providing a fully untethered co-op experience and our highly detailed open world, it's not as straightforward as lowering the resolution and getting a higher FPS. For this reason, our game does not have a performance slash quality toggle option and will run at 30 FPS on consoles."
Mm. It hurt you when I read this. I've been rooting for this game for so long.
Yeah, I don't know how this got 99 thumbs ups from the Discord chat.
I think this is an early screenshot. I think it started to trend mostly in the middle finger emoji.
Well, let me clarify. Our viewers can't see this right now, but the majority of these emojis are negative. But I am wondering about the 99 thumbs up and who those 99 people are. They're like, yeah, this is good.
Starts with the devs and then people that don't care. They're playing on PC. It's the PC players that don't have to deal with this and stuff. The people that are upset, like, people that are actually playing it on consoles they spent $500 on. When, James, the minimum graphics card for PC to run at over 30 frames is like half the amount of power that a PS5 and an Xbox Series X can handle. So it's very confusing as to why this is happening.
That is very confusing.
It is also $10 extra to buy this. Well, in America, at least the US.
Or $10 US.
$10 US more for the console version, just because that's the way console games have gone this generation. Not to say that frame rate's the only thing
But you expect the reason why everyone was justifying the $70 price tag on next gen consoles is because it's a certain degree of extra polish that goes into it. You get a better experience with a higher frame rate and higher graphic fidelity that takes more resources to make.
It's not even that it's running at 4K 30 frames per second at all times either. Like, it dips under 4K a little bit. I was watching some Digital Foundry this morning because the game is out. The game review scores are out and it is reviewing not very good too. I mean, for the clip alone, I feel like I should say that right now it is nice to have the Metacritic and Open Critic at 72. Remember a couple weeks ago, I said, if it's above a 70, I'll get it. But I don't really think that's a fair average yet when we have IGN scoring it 5 out of 10, GameSpot giving it a 4 out of 10 and other things like that. Like, these are terrible. These are terrible review scores.
Not good.
But we have one more game that came out this week that furthered this conversation of the 30 FPS issue on consoles. And what is that?
Oh, that's a Plague Tale Requiem that caps out at just 30 frames per second on PlayStation 5, 40 frames per second on 120 hertz TVs. This comes from Push Square saying, "Well, we were onto a good thing for a moment there, weren't we? Following the news that Gotham Knights, despite scrapping the PS4 version of the game, would run at just 30 frames per second on PS5, we learned that this will also be the case for Asobo Studios' latest A Plague Tale Requiem. And somewhat disappointing trend that perhaps something we will see more of in the future as games become more demanding. While it's true that games are perfectly playable at 30 FPS, 60 frames per second has seemed like the benchmark for the PlayStation 5 up until now. At the very least, we had become accustomed to the graphical performance option for those so inclined, but perhaps we were getting ahead of ourselves." SkillUp also comments and says, it's cool to see developers engaging the topic of 60 frames per second. It helps us learn about why it's often hard to deliver, which SkillUp says he's learned legit a lot about in the past 24 hours. And it lets us reiterate to them that we're okay with most of the trade-offs they list. We just want 60 frames per second as a minimum. That should be the benchmark. And then Paris or Vicious696 says this: the more we can be educated on the trade-offs of 30 versus 60 frames per second, the more we can be understanding as to why. And I think the issue with this particular instance is, while there is a trade-off typically for the 30 versus 60 frames per second, it's hard to see what the trade-off really is for this game. If we go back to Floor Marty's statement, she says that it's a fully untethered co-op experience in a highly detailed open world, but that only accounts for if you're playing co-op, first of all.
Yeah.
And second of all, it sounds like from the Digital Foundry video that maybe that's not all it's cracked. Like, quote unquote, a highly detailed open world is not as highly detailed or ambitious as she makes
more.
It sound.
There's more under the hood that has to play into this too. There's a reason they canceled the PS4 version as well. Can you imagine, like, if it can only run in 30 frames per second on current gen consoles, imagine it running.
It would run at like probably 15.
Yeah.
On right. Last gen.
And I was seeing some Plague's Tale stuff. Well, it looks absolutely gorgeous. I don't know if you've seen any of the Plague's Tale Requiem like gameplay, but
I haven't seen any of it.
Looks so incredible. 26 frames, like steady 26 for a while. And like, that sucks.
I can't do it.
And there's
remember when we were playing Spider-Man and we were talking about this because you were playing in the 4K 30 and I was playing in 60 frames, 2K or 1080, whatever the trade-off was.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't go back. I did the 60 frames and then I did the 4K and I'm like, I can't do the 4K.
Can you visually tell the difference between 60 and 30?
Absolutely, every time.
Me too. There's a lot of people online that have outwardly spoken that they do not see the difference between 30 and 60.
Human eyes see at 60 frames per second.
Well, no, they don't. They don't.
Check me.
They're like at 20. I think it's like 24 or something, 23 something. Let me make sure.
That's movies.
No, because they're shot at whatever. They're shot that way on purpose because they're like calculated.
No, I see between 30 to 60 frames per second. Okay. So it's not 24 for sure, but I'm also partially wrong.
I don't understand why. I would love for the devs to be a lot more. Just clarify this. Like, we cannot do 60 frames per second because of this. Not just because, well, it's not as easy as lowering the resolution. There could be a great reason. They're like, well, on the console hardware that we were provided, it's not like they can change the console hardware. It's like for our game that we were building before the console hardware were actually released, this is what we were shooting for. This is what we were planning on. And with this limitation, we literally cannot deliver that without sacrificing this. And maybe there's the thing that they would have to sacrifice is so major that they couldn't do it. And I would assume a lot of the devs are unhappy with this too. It might just, it seriously might not be an option for them, you know?
But we don't know what that trade-off is. I would love to know.
Because this could be a thing that comes up a lot with the next couple years of games. Especially because I didn't know Plague Tale was going to be in 30 as well. Like, could be a lot of current gen and PC only games that might be lowered here, which is sad, but we'll have to see.
I don't know. Might be an engine issue.
I mean, we're about to get God of War
like that.
In 2 weeks, three weeks here. That is going to play in 4K 60 because that's what they said on.
Yep.
And that's a double to triple as detailed world visually that you're seeing. It's not co-op. I'll give you that. But Warzone can run with 100 players dropping into one map in over 60 frames on console. It can, whatever that is. So very interesting. I love this. This topic is very interesting to me, the technological side behind it, because I'm not that knowledgeable in like what that really feeds into. So it's interesting. Guys, thank you so much for watching this clip. If you want to listen to the entire podcast, you can go on audio platforms, type in Strictly Casual Checkpoint. It's a little blue box. It says Checkpoint in yellow. You can subscribe over there. Or if you want to watch the entire video podcast, you can go on youtube.com/strictlycasual and become a member and watch the entire video podcast there. Thank you guys so much for watching this clip and we'll see you in the next one. Peace out. Moving on. It's review time, James. Three major games dropped this week.
Mm-hmm.
Three big ones. Right here, I brought out the Metacritic, Open Critic, and then I just brought one review snippet that I just thought really summed up a lot of the reviews that I was reading for each game. I'll start with the first one, and that is Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope. This has a Metacritic right now sitting at 86 and an Open Critic at 85. Super high. And I'm going to read a little review from Digital Trends, Giovanni Colantonio. And he says, Mario plus Rabbit Sparks of Hope shines thanks to its reworked tactics, which makes way for some of the best turn economy I've seen in the genre to date.
Pretty crazy.
Though it doesn't fix all of its predecessor's issues, it's a worthy follow-up that ranks among the Nintendo Switch's very best exclusives.
Yeah.
And
the first one reviewed real well, too.
Yeah. I would love to give this a shot. I would love to give this a shot eventually.
It's XCOM.
Yeah. I was reading a little bit about it too, that if this game failed, because this is a Ubisoft game, like this is Nintendo and Ubisoft. Nintendo is a very solo when it comes to never partnering with other studios to make a game. And so the discussion was, if this game fails with Ubisoft, Nintendo might never try to partner with other studios again to do, or license their characters to other studios to be able to do games. So it's good that this became successful, because this could open the door for more IP licensing for Nintendo.
Yeah.
What's the next one?
Next up, we got Plague Tale Requiem, which we just talked about. Metacritic of 83 and an open critic of 82. Now, keep in mind, even with the hard locked frame FPS rate, still managed to get great review scores, which I think when we apply to the prior discussion on Gotham Knights versus Plague Tale, and we say like, oh, well, we can't chalk technical issues always to games review scores, because Plague Tale Requiem has a Metacritic of 83 and an open critic of 82, and GameRank gave it a 4.5 out of 5, and that's still with the frame rate issues that Gotham Knight has.
Right.
I'm gonna read the GameRant Dalton Cooper's quote that says, this year has not had many options when it comes to high quality narrative experiences. Most of the big game releases have been multiplayer centric or focused on other things. So those who have been starved for a good story to sink their teeth into should rush out to play a Plague Tale Requiem as soon as possible. The story is briskly paced with shocking plot twists and constant forward momentum, bringing everything to a powerful conclusion that will stick with players long after the credits roll. And we love to hear that.
Yeah, I'm very happy about this. It looks a lot more like fast paced, like a faster pace than the first one. Not that that's bad about the first game. I think the slow in its encounters, I guess, are very slow and kind of methodical in some areas. When it's just, and then in other areas, you're just running away from rats with fire in your hand. It's pretty epic. But this one, you have like a crossbow and like you're sliding and stuff. I'm like, it looks more action-y. Cool. I guess, which I don't know if that's, I was watching SkillUp talk about it, and he said that's neither like a positive or a negative to it, because it's different than the first game in its own way. But if you're a fan of the first game's like systems, you might not like this one as much. Plague Tale Requiem is on Game Pass also. So if you have Game Pass, you can play that right away, which might be a great option. Or it is a great option if you have Game Pass.
Yeah, and that does run at 60 frames per second.
On PC, yeah.
Does it not run at 60 frames on console?
Plague's Tale?
Yeah.
No. We were just talking about that.
Plague's Tale.
Oh, the Innocence. First one. Yeah, it had a PS5 boost. It had a, what do they call it? A next-gen version that came out like...
Yeah, next-gen upgrade.
A year and a half ago, which I was playing, and that's really good. I'm only like 7 chapters in, though. Yeah. And then finally, we have Gotham Knights, which comes out tomorrow as of recording. It hurts, dude. It hurts. I'm not going to lie. I was so excited for this game. I still am excited to play this game.
How's Cheesy feeling about it?
I don't know. I got to ask him. Even my brother dropped off in the last month. He's like, dude, there's no way it's going to be good. And I was like, you're probably right. Yeah. But Gotham Knights sitting at a Metacritic of 72 and an open critic of 72 as well, which is higher than I think it should be based on other reviews that I'm seeing. IGN, who, keep in mind, did a IGN first month, like a month of coverage with the devs and stuff. They still gave this game a 5 out of 10.
Sometimes it's just how the cookie crumbles.
Gotham Knights is a consistently disappointing return to Batman's troubled and distinct step backwards from the past decade plus of Batman games. Even if running around Gotham in two-player co-op can be decent fun, and each of the four playable crime fighters are well executed in their dialogue and distinctive moves, too many of the fundamentals fall short for me to recommend this. From Travis Northup. Hurts, yeah. Dude. It hurts.
Yeah.
Now, there are also, I mean, GameSpot gives it a 4 out of 10. Just to read this one too, which is just strong character work and well-considered co-op experience can't save all that Elias Gotham Knights, leaving this experience neither one the fans deserve nor one they need right now. And that's Mark Delaney, which hurts, dude. That's so sad. They're like, fun really co-op. Sad. That's it.
Damn, at least the co-op's good. Yeah. So I know some people will probably buy it just for the co-op.
I'm sure this will be a great... Oh, it's on sale for $30. You'll buy it for $30 too? Okay, we'll do co-op and we'll play it 2 times and then we'll never play it again.
I'll tell you what, it's going to be a PlayStation Plus.
That'd be awesome. That'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Am I going to play it? No, because 30 frames per second is jarring to me now.
I think I can do it. I also have faith that an update will come. Well, they'll switch enough things around for a performance mode. I'll play it potatoey. I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to have fun. I'm just trying to have fun in Gotham, you know? And I don't see my... This is it. This is the time. Too bad they compared it to a Ubisoft open world that is a decade old.
That turns it into a no for me.
That turns me off way more than any 30 frames per second could. It hurts. Let's get into random fun stuff. Stories without a story. Headlines that you need to know about. James, start us off.
First up, we got 1 million active players each day for 4 weeks in a row. Night City sure is thriving, baby.
That's Cyberpunk 2077. Yeah. We got a Final Fantasy 16 update / we got a trailer today. I have not watched the trailer. It literally came out minutes before the podcast.
Director Hiroshi Takai says Final Fantasy 16 is close to being finished and is currently being polished. The team has turned its full attention to debugging and final adjustments. Now that things are starting to come together, the game is sizing up to be truly something special.
And summer 2023 is the new release date on that.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't a delay, but I thought it was going to be earlier. For some reason, I thought it was the end of the year.
Maybe Q1.
Yeah.
Oh.
End of the year, early next year.
End of the year. And we got a huge Silent Hill event. Yesterday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of reveals. Straight up all reveals, all gas. Biggest one, of course, is Silent Hill 2 remake reveal from the Bluebird team. Masahiro Ito and Akira Yamaoka are involved. They work closely with Bluebird team on the game. I think those are the original devs. Mm-hmm. There's a new music style and sound design. The creative director of the medium. Is the lead director on the game. There's over-the-shoulder camera, modernized gameplay. It's coming to Steam as well, built with Unreal Engine 5, utilizing both Lumen and Nanite, which are parts of the engine.
Yeah.
There's overhauled combat system and set pieces, 3D audio and DualSense support, and no loading screens whatsoever. I don't know if that means there will be hidden loading screens, which is what I'm guessing, but who knows?
I'm sure though. I mean, they have to load some stuff. Yeah, they'd probably just load it in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty crazy. This is cool. I did see the trailer,
it was great.
It looked great. Yeah, it was pretty
funny. We also got a bunch of
it was funny when they revealed it and then they cut back to who I'm assuming is Masahiro Ito and Akira Yamaoka. They're standing there with all the fog just like in the game, because there's so much fog in the first game. And I just thought it was so funny. It was just hilarious. But it was kind of like a jab at themselves a little bit, or just a playful jab. Yeah.
Very whimsical. Mm-hmm. In addition, we got 3 other Silent Hill games that were all teased. Well, one of them is like not really a game. It's like a kind of like a almost like a Bandersnatch sort of dealio. Okay. But there's Silent Hill F, which comes from Neoboards Entertainment. It's a completely new story set in 1960s Japan, featuring a beautiful yet horrifying world, written by Ryukishi Osevan, famed for Japanese visual novels dealing with murder mysteries, psychological and supernatural horror.
Imagine you write like really profound horror novels and you have a gamer tag. You use a gamer tag as your as your name.
What it sounds like.
It's so epic.
It's really what it sounds like. Yeah. Also, interesting tidbit, the producer of Silent Hill F is Matoi Okamoto, who was previously at Nintendo and worked on games such as Luigi's Mansion, Pikmin 1 and 2, and more.
Nice.
There's also Silent Hill Ascension by Genvid Entertainment, and I think that's the Bandersnatch type one where it's like you watch, it's an interactive like movie type thing and you make decisions along the way.
Is it on a platform or do you purchase it like a game? Do you play that? Like
no details.
Okay, gotcha.
Silent Hill Townfall is from No Code, produced by Annapurna Interactive.
Yeah.
That got a reveal trailer, and there's also a Return to Silent Hill teaser trailer, which is a new movie.
New movie trailer? Cut out a little bit, sorry.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of love for one of the original Silent Hill movies that came out as being like a great horror movie. Like one of the better game movie adaptations. Is it
the Christopher Gans one? The 2006 one?
I don't know. Good question. I haven't seen any of them.
That's what this new movie is based off of.
Silent Hill.
It's called Return to Silent Hill. That's the new one.
Okay. Yeah, probably the 2006. That sounds right. Well, it has a 31% on Rotten Tomatoes, so I don't even know. It's got Sean Bean in it.
Sean Bean.
In both of them. And then you have Kit Harington in the second one. Jon Snow himself.
I don't know, man.
He plays a guy named Vincent. Oh, because Vincent's in the games. Duh. He plays Vincent. That's epic.
Is that the main character, Vincent?
In one of the games. Oh, in Silent Hill 3. Yeah.
We don't talk about Silent Hill games after 2, I think. I think that's the general consensus.
It's rough out there.
Yeah.
Win some and you lose some. Dude, the haircuts look so good in this movie. I want to watch this just for the haircuts. So good. James, what have you been playing this week?
What do you think I've been playing, James, this week?
Then I got a game for you. I got a game for you that you can play.
On my Switch.
Nope, you could play it on your phone. And you have a new phone now, so you have much more battery life to game for a little bit. And this game doesn't even take a lot of battery, so you're good. It's a great Subway game. Actually, an incredible Subway game for your...
Great.
Okay. This game came out a couple days ago, and it is called Marvel Snap. And Marvel Snap is a card game. No, you're laughing. You're laughing, James. But this... I'm telling you right now, I've never been so hooked on an app, like, ever. You can also get it on PC. It's just like the
worst version of Hearthstone.
It's by the Hearthstone director. It's by the Hearthstone director. It's not worse. It's really good. It's really, really fun. You should give it a shot. Can I try to explain Marvel Snap to sell you on it?
Yes.
Okay. Obviously, it's a deck, like a card deck game, where you build decks to fight other people, that sort of thing.
Right.
How you play is there's three locations in the middle of the screen, which are three areas you can play your cards. Each area has a modifier, and the modifiers are tied to the location. So there's like 50 locations, and you're going to get a random three in here. Some of the locations are add one power to the location to the right, or add, if it's like Central Park, it adds a squirrel card to each location, which is 1 point, and just different modifiers to play around with the board. Then all of your cards, all of your heroes, have different modifiers as well that have ongoing traits or traits that happen on reveal. So like sometimes if you like you play the Punisher, you reveal the Punisher. His trait is that if anybody plays a card on the opposite side on that same turn, you get bonus 2 points. Because like, I don't know, that's just his power. Or Mr. Fantastic, if you play him in the middle, he adds points to all three locations instead of just the location where you play him. Like fun things like that. And then you're trying to win two of the three locations. If you win two of the three locations with the most power, then you win the match. And it's so addictive. It's like a 5-minute game each game. And I'm playing. I might have played 30 games yesterday, maybe more. In meetings. I'm so sorry.
That's a lot.
I'm level 52 in the game right now. I'm ranked bronze. I'm moving up. I'm moving up to iron. It's so fun.
Do I need an internet connection to play?
No, you don't. Yes, you do. Okay. Maybe?
Then it's not a good Subway game.
I don't know. It's a great game.
Who do you play against? You play against bots or you play against real people?
You play against real people. You're going to need an internet connection.
Then I can't play it on Subway. Not a good Subway game.
Okay. Well, you can play it on the toilet. It's been better than scrolling through social media for me. It's good. It gets me off. Fair enough. It gets me out of the toilet a little bit faster, actually. That is it's so good. It's so fun. Also, tonight is early access for Modern Warfare 2 campaign. So I am going to be jumping into that. I pre-ordered it, peer pressure. So that'll be fun to play. And I'm bummed that tonight I won't be playing Gotham Knights at 9 p.m. because I don't think I'm going to buy it. Because it's bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But that's it. Marvel Snap has been more than I've played anything else this week. The Destiny Gundam suits are in.
Yeah, they're cool. I saw the sniper.
The sniper's free. You just log in and grab it. Fucking cool. You don't have to grind for it.
The legendary one?
Yeah. So I'm going to...
It's okay. I'm not going to put any time into Destiny, so it's not worth it.
I am. I'm going to slap that baby in the vault, have it ready for Lightfall. It's perfect.
No, it's. I'm just not...
Oh, I love it.
I'm just not there. I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
When I got a 45-minute commute, I don't have time for that. I'm spending probably 3 hours a day just commuting.
Oh, horrible. That is horrible.
Hey, but you know what? I'm downloading shows on my phone, and I'm getting shit done. I finished Cowboy Bebop
today. Great show.
I went back, and I don't think it's as good as everyone says it is.
I love it. The two episode...
The only great episodes I think are the twofers. Like the ones that are two parts.
Yeah.
Which only there's Jupiter Jazz and the Real Folk Blues. Wait, you know what? Actually, there's another one with just Spike that I really, really like. I think it's The Ballad of Fallen Angels. That's a really good one too.
Is that your second time watching that?
No, this is my first time finishing it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
I went back.
I also, Chainsaw Man. All caught up on Chainsaw Man.
Fuck yeah.
Which what do is you really think? Good. I'm liking it a lot. It's funny.
Yeah. It's really, really funny.
Yeah. B and I are watching it on Tuesdays after work. It's been
Tuesday's good. Chainsaw Man day, baby.
Yep. Well.
I love it.
Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. If I cave and buy Gotham Knights this week, I'll let you know about it next week. I don't think I am, but maybe. Who knows?
It's so expensive for what you're getting.
It is very expensive. Sad. Okay, everybody. Thank you so much for watching. We will see you next week on Checkpoint episode 136. Peace out. Bye-bye.